I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance. PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for all your home, auto, and commercial business needs. Visit them at pc-insurance.net.
Ryan Wood covers the Green Bay Packers for the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. And right here on the Wendy's Big Show, he joins us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline on a green and gold Monday after the Packers beat the Carolina Panthers 24-16. Ryan, first off, welcome back to December football, this time in November with a snow globe Lambeau Field yesterday.
Oh, it was gorgeous. You know, there's a lot of things in doing this job that you kind of get used to, even the cool parts of this job, they become, you're used to it. It's old hat after a while. There's nothing about a snow game at Lambeau Field that I ever get used to. Every time it snows there, I think it's just a gorgeous sight. It's always kind of a special thing. So, you know, you already had a really neat game, right? Two good teams,
right,
came down to the wire. The snow in the background, it was an incredible environment.
And Ryan, too, that they do it by finishing off the game and stopping a guy that is right now in the middle of the MVP conversation, or at least he should be, in Christian McCaffrey, stonewalling him at the goal line and finishing it off there. In a game that had a lot of different storylines, they did feel like they contained and did their job containing Christian McCaffrey during the game.
There were no big plays, and you almost don't care what kind of yardage he ends up with. I think it was under 150. If you would have told me that Christian McCaffrey is going to have under 150 all-purpose yards, I would have said the Packers would win. So they did their job there. But 100, I think it was, 142 or something like that? That's not nothing. They didn't shut him out, but there was no big plays. In the explosive area, they shut him out of that. And so when you look at it, Christian McCaffrey's having a better season, but Aaron Jones was the best running back on that field yesterday. Three touchdowns, you know, had close to 100 yards, had a 15-plus yard catch wiped out because of a penalty. It was a pretty big statement game for an Aaron Jones, and it's something that he doesn't get the opportunities. He doesn't get the touches that Christian McCaffrey has to make plays that Christian McCaffrey does, but you know, the fact that they're tied in touchdowns with much fewer touches, that it bodes pretty well and says something about the season that Aaron Jones is having. And I thought when you put him on the same field yesterday, at least, and it wouldn't be this way every time, maybe yesterday, Aaron Jones was the best running back on the field.
Would you also say that Kyle Allen was the best quarterback on the field yesterday?
Might have been when you consider how much pressure he was under. He was like Houdini. It was really remarkable. It was my first time really seeing Kyle Allen play, and I'd heard a lot about him, obviously, but hadn't really seen him. And I was extremely impressed. You know, he made a couple mistakes, and because of that, the clean game that Aaron Rodgers played, I'd probably still give him the nod, because those mistakes that Kyle Allen made were crucial. One of them being a pick six that Jair Alexander dropped. I mean, so there were some mistakes that he even got away with, but he was hounded all day by that pass rush, and he was able to get out some things that I just couldn't believe. And he was impressive. I mean, they sure look like they've got a franchise quarterback there.
Here's why I say it, because I'm trying to temper this stuff, because there's a lot of Packer fans that think that maybe Aaron Jones should be the MVP of the league this year, or should be in discussion. That's why I said that. Just because Kyle Allen could have been the best quarterback on the field yesterday really doesn't make him better than Aaron Rodgers, because I take Aaron Rodgers every day over Kyle Allen, correct?
Right, yeah. If he made more plays, again, yeah, Aaron Rodgers was cleaner, and that's really important to the quarterback position.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. We had a discussion today about Rashawn Gary, What's your thoughts so far on his like development and how he's really kind of, you know, been going here as of late?
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen him enough to have any real, I guess, accurate thoughts. I mean, we just haven't seen him much. Haven't needed to see him much because the Smiths have been Pro Bowlers. I think both those guys, if they continue on this trajectory, are going to be Pro Bowlers this year. So we haven't had to see him much. And, you know, I don't think the Packers are that surprised that he's a project of some sorts. I mean, he was kind of supposed to be coming into the league. He's got all this athleticism. He was changing positions from 5-tech, really a 6-tech defensive end, to standing up more as an outside linebacker. So that was going to take time. I think when they signed the Smiths, we all kind of knew that it really afforded them the luxury of being patient, you know, when they drafted Gary, because they'd already had the Smiths in place. So I don't know if it's really surprising that it's been a quiet rookie year for him. I don't know that it also has that much of a tell for what the future procrastinations are going to be for what he can do in year two, year three, year four. So right. It's just – it's been quiet because they've had the luxury of allowing it to be quiet because the Smiths have been so good.
This is almost like then – and Leroy talked about it, sir. This is – so maybe he's a project. But then this is almost like maybe Rashard Gary – being or maybe Rodgers being behind Brett Favre for a couple of years, and you just really didn't need it. Although Rashard Gary is getting some snaps on the field.
Yeah, and he's done. You know, where Rashard Gary has impressed the most this year is where he impressed the most at Michigan, and it wasn't as a rusher. It was really in his run defense, especially his pursuit. That when you talk to his coaches at Michigan, they all bring that up and how his motor in the run game was incredible. When you talk to scouts about Rashard Gary coming into the draft, they all rave about his combination as a run and pass defender, and not just a pass rusher. That was the book on him. Not that he was an elite pass rusher with the 12th overall pick, but that he was a really good, kind of like a much more athletic Nick Perry, and that he could do both pretty well. So There's some parts of his game as a pass rusher that needed refinement and development, and he's getting an opportunity to do that. It probably will bode well for him. It should bode well for him going forward. It can't hurt that he's had this ability to have the patience behind the Smiths, but he's got, you know, we just won't know for a couple of years. That's how a lot of draft picks go, but this one especially, we're not going to know for a couple of years on Rashard Gary.
Talking with Ryan Wood here, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, on the Wendy's Big Show. Self-scouting, Ryan, can you enlighten our listeners on what the coaches mean by that into the bye week?
Yeah, so the offensive staff's going to be evaluating the defensive staff almost like they're going to prepare to play the defense, and the defensive staff is going to evaluate the offense like they're going to prepare to play the offense, to kind of basically come up with game plans almost and tell Matt LaFleur, this is how we would attack this side of the ball, the other side of the ball. And, you know, sometimes the best information can come internally when you're just honest with yourself. And to do that, the other side of the ball is really able to get a fresh perspective and to kind of provide that new insight. So it's something that a lot of coaches do. Mike McCarthy did this. This is pretty much the norm throughout the league, is that you have self-scouting during the bye. It can't hurt that it comes so late in the season, because that just means that there's even more of a sample size and even more information to pick through, to go over. And it's a lot different than if you're doing this week four, week five, week six, you just haven't seen as many games. So I would think that helps. I also, you know, I think that there could be some pretty significant adjustments coming out of the bye. It's not uncommon for coaches to use this week, this off week during the season, to course correct in some areas that they need to improve. And there's some areas that the Packers can improve despite their 8-2 record. So it's pretty advantageous if you use it the right way.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later during the bye week this week. I want to have a discussion with you about why they can't stop a tight end, especially Greg Olsen, somebody that really, I didn't think he can separate, but for some reason he was wide open. But the stress level for me, and I get the self-scout stuff, I'm not really big on it, because I think you have to look internal. why are you giving us so many explosion plays? Let's break this film down and find out if it's the players, is it the system, is it maybe a bad call on me? But they did, you guys did ask LaFleur, wise guy, so wide open, all caps. So it has to be an issue with it. I think a lot of people don't think about it because you're winning games. I mean, it's just like 15-1. Remember they gave up all those yards, but they were winning 15 games, but they eventually got knocked out of the playoffs. They're tracking for something like that bad to happen. So, I mean, how does this get cleaned up as far as that's what McCarthy said? We're going to get it cleaned up. But those big plays are just disturbing.
I think we want to know if it can get cleaned up after the bye. And
that's
I can't
a good
speak
point.
To 2011, but I can speak to 2014. And if you remember 2014, that's a pretty good team. They had a
yep.
first round bye.
Yep.
It's been 12-4.
Yep.
And that entire season, we all talked about how the special teams were an issue. And they're still winning. And they're
yep.
winning despite the special teams.
Yep.
But the special teams were an issue. They're getting punts and kicks blocked, missing kicks, breakdowns in coverage in the return game. It was an issue. And that whole season, they're winning, and you're like, boy, at the end of the day, this might hurt them. I mean, this might come back and cost them. And what happened in 2014, but the special teams were literally the reason why the Packers didn't go to the Super Bowl that year. At the end of the day, it did mm-hmm. hurt them. And the explosive plays that this defense is allowing feels a lot like this season, what the special teams felt like in 2014, where they're winning games. They're 8-2. They're still winning despite the explosive plays. They've been able to make up for them. But at the end of the day, those explosive plays might be the reason why this team doesn't go to the Super Bowl if they don't course correct and if they don't fix that in the second half of the season. So it's a big issue. I don't think there's any question about that. This defense is very opportunistic. It's very aggressive, and it's benefited from that style of play, but it's been burnt a lot over and over and over again almost every week because of that style of play too. So there's got to be some kind of balance there. We'll see if they can find that over the bye. I think they're going to have to really be honest with themselves on how to take care of that issue.
We had Mike Clemens on earlier in the show, and he was talking about two guys that may play significant roles in this team come playoff time, and that's Campbell on defense and Sternberger on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, you can't predict the future. I get that. But if you had money to put down on this, which one do you think plays a bigger role in this team going forward the rest of the year?
I think they both do. And that's not a cop-out. I mean, I honestly think that they both have significant roles on this team going forward. Matt LaFleur made it sound like he was almost, and he wouldn't say surprised, but Jay Sternberger earned the additional snaps that he got. He played a little bit more than expected, and it's because he earned that as a blocker, which he's not supposed to be able to block. I mean, that's the book on Jay Sternberger coming out of college, is that he's a receiving tight end. So the way he was able to block and kind of some of those zone scheme kick out blocks that he had, that was impressive. And on the other side of the ball, considering Ibrahim Campbell hadn't played in a year, and I mean, I was surprised he was even active, to be honest with you, because just last week was when he was activated to off the PUP. Usually the trend with this team is that your first week back onto the 53, you don't get activated. I mean, shoot, Ryan Grant is still waiting three games to be activated for a game. And he's been on the 53 for 3 weeks now. Now Ibrahim Campbell has some practice time, but you can't duplicate, especially with the way, you know, two of those Wednesdays were walkthroughs. You can't duplicate game speed and game action in practice. So for him to come back in his first time in a year and play as well as he did was really impressive. Forced a fumble. And I think, you know, Mike Pettin said way back in August that he thought Ibrahim Campbell was a starting caliber type safety. Now they don't need a starting safety in their base or their sub. You know, they've got Savage and Amos, but he kind of gives them a third guy there. And you can't have enough of those guys in the back end that can cover, play the middle of the field, and he's another one. So I think both of those guys are going to be guys that they're going to get their opportunities, they're going to get snaps, and they've earned those.
Well, what do you make of MVS? Is he hurt? Is he being phased out, or is it just opportunities?
Matt LaFleur did say today that MVS has been dealing with some sort of issue physically. It's not been something that has been significant enough to keep him out of really practice or games, but he is less than 100% physically. So that admission would kind of lead me to believe that there's something physically going on, but the reality is his numbers, they've been missing over the past few weeks. And this is a guy who he is their second best receiver behind Davante Adams. He is the guy who needs to be more than a deep threat. He is the deep threat. He needs to be more than a deep threat. And if you're looking for wild cards, especially on offense, that if they get a certain more additional production from this guy, this offense as a whole can take another level. MVS is near the very top of that list, right? I mean, he's a huge wild card for this offense. So that's something, you know, I do think they're going to need to look at that over the bye, how to get him in more positions to better succeed. Matt LaFleur said that himself. And if they're able to do that, it would be very beneficial, advantageous to this offense.
Yeah, I mean, the Owen Burks thing, I mean, kind of a head scratcher.
That's another one.
I'm thinking, where is this guy? But I didn't hear a lot about the injuries with Summers and the other young man. His name escapes me, the return guy. Because now you got to scramble. You're getting nothing from your special teams, and your punter is not having a great year so far. He started out great. These are things that, when you're 8-2, the meeting goes better, but you still got to fix these things because no one expects for you to get this close now because of what the Saints did. The Saints just lose to Atlanta, just open the door for you to be, you know, a team that, you know, if Seattle does their job, you know, that next week can be for number one overall if it happens this way. But sometimes looking at your own house and cleaning that up is better than cleaning up somebody else's.
Hey, I know you guys got on me for the whole 9-1 thing, but give me credit for this. I've been saying for weeks now.
They're playing for seeding.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are.
Bye week, they are in the thick of home field advantage.
Yes.
Well, who yelled at you about the 9-1 thing? Who you?
You!
I wouldn't even hear that, Dave.
Oh, my Lord.
Gary went after you.
That's a selective remembering.
CTE. CTE is what it
Gary
is.
Gary says something about you. So let me get this right. So if you're wrong about something, you're going to give yourself credit? That's not so.
He was right.
About seeding?
Well, they are playing for seeding.
They should have been.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't, but
yeah,
they are
playing
for seeding.
Yeah, don't be playing in any game with Steve. Never want Steve on your side. It won't go good.
Oh, Ryan, being on my side is even better, and you're always with me, all right, man?
This guy.
You know we love you, my brother.
Here's the point you made, Leroy, about the 7-1 Saints losing to the 1-7.
Can you believe that?
Game or whatever.
Rivalry game, boys.
That's great.
Wow.
It is a rivalry game.
And if you look at the 49ers' schedule, it is brutal.
Yeah, it is. Starting tonight.
The top contenders in the conference, they have the toughest schedule down the stretch by far.
Right.
And watch them get tripped up by that Arizona team. That team is going to beat somebody they're not supposed to here in the next couple of weeks.
It's a great trap game.
Yeah,
because
it is.
They got landmines everywhere else.
No doubt about it. You know? Ryan, appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk on Wednesday.
He said trap game, Gary. He said trap game.
He didn't use that word.
Yeah, he did.
Come on,
Ryan joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy or renovate or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.